I'd like now to welcome Bill Hutchison. He is with the Santa Fe Animal Shelter and Humane Society. Welcome to the Radio Cafe.
Well, hello, Mary Charlotte. Well,
hello.
How are you?
Good, how are you?
Good. How are Milk and Honey?
Well, they are wonderful, and I have to say that Horatio is extra happy.
I always forget to ask about Horatio.
Yeah, well,
it's middle child syndrome, man. That's the kid that always gets forgotten.
It's true, and he's different.
I don't even remember my middle brother. I don't have any idea what his name is.
That's just wrong.
It's terrible. It's sad.
But anyway, last time I saw you, we were talking about chilies. Now we're talking about animals and the summer weather. And I have to say, Horatio is a long-haired dachshund, and I have never gotten him groomed before. In fact, I've barely brushed him. You know, I just kind of let him be. And this year, I got him a haircut, and he is the happiest dog in the world. And
so
I never
thought. So we've gone from talking about chili to talking about chili dogs.
Chili dogs, that's right, little hot dog dogs. And when you groom a long-haired dog like that in the summer, he is now, he's unencumbered. He is not so bogged down by the heat. He runs around the dog park instead of just trying to hide under a tree where there's a little bit of shade.
Imagine you're a kid in the winter and you're bundled up in your nice warm winter coat, and then it comes into the summer and the zipper's stuck and you can't get it off.
That's right.
And it's 91 degrees and you're in the high desert and the air is thin and the sun is hot and you're in your big woolly coat. Did Horatio such a favor?
I know, but the thing is, there are some dogs that have a kind of undercoat that provides an insulation for them. What dogs are you supposed to groom and not groom in the summer?
Grooming's really tricky. We have some great groomers in this community, and it's really important. You know, a lot of people, I remember I lived up in Chimayo for the first 3 years that I moved back to New Mexico, and Chimayo at the time had chows like New York City has rats, and people would get their chows, and they would just completely shave them down to the skin in the summertime. And I'll tell you, I have never seen more. They're happy for the first day or two, and then all of a sudden you've got all these sunburned dogs who are really unhappy.
No.
And that's one of the things that I think is really important to remember is that dogs' coats provide a lot of different things for them. It's protection from the elements. It's not just protection from the cold, but it's also protection from the sun. So when you're grooming a dog, even like Horatio, those of you who are Facebook buddies with Mary Charlotte will have seen the photo evidence of her grooming. She left enough on that he's got good sunscreen, good sun protection.
Yeah, maybe half an inch or 3/8 of an inch of
clipping
of
him down
hair
to the skin. You're not doing him any favors. Sometimes all your dog needs, naturally, you know, they want to shed that winter coat. Sometimes all your dog needs is a really good brushing out. There's some really excellent brushes out there. While we are not paid to endorse any products, there's a brand of brushes out there called Deferminator, and I use them on my long-haired cat.
Deferminator?
Deferminator.
Oh, Deferminator.
Deferminator, yeah. I'll be back, but the fur won't. And it's really just some of the best brushes around, and it's what keeps my gigantically fat long-haired orange cat from broiling inside his skin like a potato in the summertime. And I think knowing the particulars of these things are really important. Believe it or not, grooming isn't all that expensive. And we're not talking, you know, putting pom-poms on your poodle or any of that sort of horrendous nonsense. No offense intended to those who do that horrendous nonsense. But it's really just figuring out how to unstick the zipper, as it were, and get your critter ready for the heat. Because it ain't easy being an animal in the summer. They're not telling us, hey, you know, we're walking on the asphalt and you've got tennies on and I got nothing but my little bare feet and it's been sunny all day and that the asphalt and you know, just soaks up the sunshine and sends it right back into the sensitive pads of our cute little dog's feet.
Is there anything you can do for their foot pads?
Don't walk them on hot surfaces. I mean, it's there are.
I mean, you're supposed to put Vaseline on them afterwards or aloe or something?
You can get products, these little walking boots. But I did try this once with my Great Dane, rest in peace, when she was a puppy. And I've never seen a dog try and get all 4 feet off the ground before until I put these little protective booties, because we were hiking on a lot of sharp gravel up in Chimayo at the time. But I don't think that works all that well. The thing to do is just plan out where you're going to be walking. Don't walk on a black road. Black absorbs heat. Go take your dog for a little hike up Atalaya. Bring a little water bowl with you. You know, go to the dog park. Walk on some grass. You know, find cool places. If you wouldn't walk on it with your shoes off, don't ask your dog to walk on it with their shoes off.
And one of the rules of thumb that I have begun to learn.
We call them rules of paw. When
rules
we're doing
of paw.
These
that's
segments.
What I meant. Yeah. Is that if I'm thirsty, they are too.
That's it. Exactly. It's funny. We went for a hike with my little stepdog the other day, and we thought it'd just be a short little walk, so we did not pack water, which is like the perennial rookie mistake when you're hiking in Santa Fe. 2 hours in, I was so terribly thirsty, and I thought, oh my God, I'm like the worst dog step-parent ever because I don't have anything for her to drink. And if I'm parched, indeed, she's parched. So when you're walking, there's the other little bit. Take water. You know, your dogs are close to the ground where there's a lot of heat radiating back up. Take water. Be smart about where you're hiking. Don't push them. I see a lot of people running long distances with their little dogs, and your little dog just ain't always the triathlete that you are. So just you got to be sensitive to their needs. You don't drag your 5-year-old kid along on a 10-mile run. And you know, I know that there are some dogs that are ready to raring to go, and even more that want to, but frankly probably shouldn't.
Then there are just the incredibly obvious things, which we have to state once a year, whether you like it or not, which is when you go out, if you leave your dog outside, make sure your dog has shade and water.
Absolutely. And the shelter, you need to bear in mind that we live in a heliocentric solar system. So if the shade that you've set up for your dog is in the sun, in the shade at one point, recognize that the sun turns. And working with our partners,
you mean the earth turns.
The earth turns. Thank you. Just kidding, Copernicus. Are working with our partners at Animal Services and Animal Control. They run into a lot of people who have sort of lean-to shanties for their dogs, which are great in the morning, and they see the lean-to's in the shade in the morning. But come the afternoon, man, that dog's got nowhere to go.
And they get traumatized by it. I've seen dogs who were rescued from places like that where they were in the sun all the time without any shelter, and those dogs are phobic of the sun.
Oh, yeah, it's really dreadful. It's you got to make sure that you have a secure water bowl. We all know that as smart as many of our dogs are, it's many times have they knocked over their own water bowl while doing God knows what they do around the water bowl. So finding a secure water bowl, a big giant bucket, something outside that if they can't tip over, or that you got a backup plan if they do tip it over, all these things are dreadfully important. There's a band that I played on my now defunct KSFR radio show called Dogs Die in Hot Cars, and I liked to play a song of theirs in the summer just because it was a chance to do a little PSA. For God's sakes, we've said it many times, just don't put your dog in the car in the summertime. We all know.
And don't leave it there and go shopping for 45 minutes at Trader Joe's.
Frankly, 15 minutes in our thin mountain air. You think there's a breeze, you crack the windshield, and we've gone over on our segments many, many times over the years the math of how quickly it heats up and how hot it gets. And unless you are actively seeking to broil your dog for a dinner party, do not take your dog out in the car in the summertime. Unless you're like going out, you got the AC on, and you're heading for the dog park, or you're taking him to get tutored.
I have to share one thing that has to do with not knocking over water bowls, but knocking over garbage cans, which is one of the hobbies of especially the dachshund. I don't know how he does it. He's knocked over garbage cans 100 times his size.
He's also knocked over garbage mans, from what I've heard.
Not so much, no. But the garbage can in the kitchen was a particular venue for them to go scrounging around in and knock over and eat everything inside and strew it all over the house, which is unpleasant. And I found the perfect solution. I put a piece of Velcro on the front. I taped a piece of Velcro to the top of the can. And when you close it, it just closes all by itself. The Velcro just flops down onto it. And I've seen a knocked over garbage can every single day since I put the Velcro on, and they can't get it open.
That's very, very smart. I thought you were going to say you put a piece of Velcro on the garbage can and a piece of Velcro on the dog so that he stuck to it after he knocked it down.
That would also be
the image was
a possibility,
comical, albeit cruel.
Not quite as practical.
No.
Bill Hutchison. Bill Hutchison is with the Santa Fe Animal Shelter and Humane Society, and many wonderful dogs and cats and other animals up for adoption there.
Check out our website, www.sfhumanesociety.org, to see their beautiful little furry faces.
Excellent, and thank you for being with us once again.
Always a pleasure, Mary Charlotte.
You've been listening to the Santa Fe Radio Cafe. My name is Mary Charlotte. We're streaming live on the web at ksfr.org, podcasting at santafe.radiocafe.org. Thanks to Dotfoil Computer Services. You can subscribe to the show on iTunes. You can find us at facebook.com/radiocafe, and my email address is radiocafe@ksfr.org. Stay tuned for the BBC, then local news, then jazz.